listening to The Bradshaw Boys, a podcast where three relatively grown men binge the iconic HBO series Sex and the City. So dust off those DVDs and grab yourself a white wine or even a Cosmopolitan and settle in. Take it away, boys.
Welcome to the Bradshaw Boys, a podcast where three guys watch their way through Sex and the City for the first time ever. Mostly, I'm Corey Cavan.
I'm Kevin James Doyle.
My name is John Sieber, and we've turned the corner. We're in the home stretch.
Gosh, we really are.
We are about to start a classic war, one of the great wars of all time, a Cold War.
Yeah.
It's actually a very interesting time to be the Cold War because we're dealing with, you know, America versus Russian geopolitical things as we speak.
We're back. Always comes back. It always comes back to the Cold War.
It really does. It really does.
What do you think Petrovsky's life was like in Russia? Does he talk about it? Does he ever talk about?
Probably not full of art and exploration. And that's why I think he's doing his thing now.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if we know when Petrovsky came to the States. Like, I don't know if it was like after college or if he did any.
He had a few exhibitions in Moscow, I bet. They were kind of like, people were like, whoa, who's this edgy?
See, I think he was in Paris. I think he got out of there at like 13, and then was just crushing in Paris for the rest of the time. But he was in New York in the 80s, right? So if he's in his 60s, like, so in the 40s when he was in his 40s, how old is he? 50 in this show?
He's probably mid 50s, early 50s.
In his 30s, he was at Studio 54. In New York, crushing it with all those artists. So what was he doing from like 18 to 30? I'm thinking Paris.
Yeah, Paris. He was in Montmartre. He was just like, just being inspired, just being like, oh my gosh, can't believe this is the same streets that Monet walked down.
I just looked up on Wikipedia how old he was. And I, by accident, I wasn't reading and I just looked up Mikhail Baryshnikov and I was like, Petrovsky's supposed to be 72? Like, that's weird that Carrie's dating a guy who's 72. Also, he looks great for 72. Wow.
And wait, before we talk about Sex and the City, let's do a little business. Let's not save it for the end. Okay.
Okay.
If you haven't rated us on iTunes, go do it. Give us 5 stars.
Yep.
All right. We also have a Patreon, and if you guys think that there's 4 episodes of this podcast left plus the movies,
you fools. you sad fools.
Wow, that's unbelievable that you would just be ready to take us out of your feed like that. You think we're going to leave you in the lurch after we've created such an intimate bond?
No way.
Anytime in your earbuds.
Anytime people are like, oh, is the podcast going to be over? I was like, what else do you think we have to do?
Yeah. People are like, what are you going to do when it's done? Please don't stop. Yeah. If we stopped, we would lose any meaning.
Let me ask you this, listeners. If your mother and father spent years going to a sawmill, getting 2x4s, cutting the trees down themselves and then getting the trees milled, they get all that together. Then they put the work in, they build a frame, they lay the floor in, they build a house. Are they just going to move out of that house?
No.
We spent 2 years building this thing. We're going to live in it, okay? This is our house of podcasting now, and we're going to live in it as long as we want. We're going to die here.
And we have a guest bedroom full of tens of thousands of listeners, and I hope you're all comfortable. Do you need anything? You need any linens? Do you need any, do you need a washcloth?
Just washcloth?
You want a washcloth?
You need a washcloth? All right, so go get on the Patreon because we're ramping that shit up. And we also want to shout out whoever is advertising on our pot. I don't know if it's Starbucks or Goldman Sachs, whoever. It's
Goldman Sachs is still there, man.
Fucking drink that coffee. Fucking go support Goldman Sachs. Please message us.
Buy a mortgage and then chop it up, repackage it to other people. Whatever Goldman does, just keep doing it. You guys know that during that whole home analogy, I was trying to think of a Samantha Cold War sex analogy, and I got as far as the Bay of Pigs, and I couldn't think of anything.
Oh man, I think it's the whole war.
The whole H-O-L-E. War.
The whole war. I don't know.
But yeah, keep doing what you're doing. Just listen to those ads.
Rate us. Follow us on Spotify. You know what? One thing I will say that I really enjoy and that we get sometimes, but if you're listening and you're like, I love this, hit the little share to Instagram thing and share in a story that you're listening to an episode and you're like, they just said the stupidest thing or they just said the best, most heartfelt thing, whatever. But share that out and we will reshare it to all of our Instagram followers.
The point of all of this is, we appreciate you helping us out and we appreciate doing this. And we've just been talking as a pod that we're like excited that people have come along for this journey. So we want to keep it going. So, and so we will. And, we're excited for some post finishing the series analysis that feels like just the beginning because we don't know how it's going to end.
Yeah.
We only got four apps left.
And from what people say, their favorite thing to do with Sex and the City is to rewatch it. Sex and the City is an old friend. It's a comfortable friend. It's an old pal you haven't seen in a while. Mm-hmm. And you know, if you meet up with them again, the conversation's going to be easy. The drinks are going to go down smooth. And so you better bet your buck that we're going to rewatch this thing. We're going to take it down again. There's more to talk about. We missed so much. We spent so much time talking about Capote Duncan and his stupid ass. We're gonna become fashion experts. We're gonna learn all the nuances, and we're gonna be back with better content right to your ears.
We're gonna find out what this show. We're gonna find out what the allegory of this show actually means. You know how when you read The Wizard of Oz and it's all about like the political system at that time and like the Tin Man. You know, like he represents how what is that
the tin industry.
Is it the tin industry?
I don't know.
It's some industry that doesn't have a heart. Probably the tin industry. They had no hearts.
Have they ever done a Wizard of Sex? Like a Wizard of Oz mashup?
I don't know.
Who would be who? I mean, Carrie's Dorothy. She's the main character, but like I couldn't help but wonder.
Who doesn't have a brain? That's a tough one.
Oh, I'm going to embarrass myself, but the Scarecrow.
Samantha is the Scarecrow because she's getting stuffed full of hay all the time.
Stuffed full of hay.
She could be stiff from getting rid too hard like the Tin Man too. It's just Carrie and all the others are iterations of Samantha.
You think Charlotte is the Cowardly Lion? Just because she gets flustered really easily about stuff.
Well, the Cowardly Lion lost his heart.
And then the lion
heart?
Finds his courage.
His
and
courage.
We have this whole thing about Charlotte having this like big arc, you know, about...
I'll tell
about
you what, when in the episode where she couldn't go to Brady's first birthday party and she put on that pink dress and came out of her house, she found her courage. She was very, very lion-like right there.
Yeah.
All right, I'll give Charlotte.
Steve is one of the... never mind. I was thinking Wizard of Oz. I was going to say Steve is an Oompa Loompa because he's short.
He could be one of the flying monkeys.
We could have an Oompa Loompa in this version of Wizard of Oz.
Brady is one of the flying monkeys.
Yeah.
That'd be a cute little Halloween.
Oh man.
Who's the man behind the curtain? The wizard?
It's that guy that when Carrie worked at Vogue that she turned around and he had his pants down. He was like, Hey, cookie. He's just, I didn't realize you were going to pull this curtain around, Cookie. Okay, Cookie.
I feel like she couldn't help but wonder, is she seeing the world in black and white when she's really surrounded by so much color kind of thing?
Oh, John, how did you just come up with... I feel like sometimes I'll have a thought like that, and then as it comes out of my mouth, I'm like, there's one color. It was like you wrote that.
So smooth, John.
I think there's something there. I think like we do also, speaking to the end of the pod, we have a lot of stuff that we need to cross over. We still need to do Sex Sesame Street. We talked about that. We need to do Wizards of Sex. We have a lot of places that we need to go.
Oh my gosh. So
we, at the very least, we need to come up with a Sesame Street Samantha style rhyme that she can sing.
Can you tell me?
I never let a dick go by.
Oh man, it's like a, it's funny like remembering, like I'm like, oh, were we in Industry City when that riff happened?
Yeah, man,
I think
I can remember when the riff happened.
Just, I mean, so much stuff has happened in everyone's lives. We're not going to go down this long rabbit.
I will say
it's just, I agree with what you're saying. I was about to go even further down it, and I was like, everyone's got that story, but it is wild to be like, wow, we the pod has shifted so much.
Mm-hmm. Also, I'll say this, that there's something we may have talked about this before. There's something that is we just totally underestimated when we first started this. Of we're like, oh, we'll watch it with strangers, and then we'll comment on it. And we totally underestimated how socially just slightly uncomfortable it is to like meet a stranger in like our basement studio. So this person like comes to like this like basement apartment in this neighborhood in Brooklyn. And then we're like, hey, what's up? Can we get you a drink? And then we sit down and talk for 15 minutes in a studio. And then we just go in a living room and sit next to them in silence as we like all watch an episode of TV. And they're like, oh, we watch it now.
Yeah.
We're like, yeah. And we're sitting.
Hey, do you need a notepad and a pen? No, man, I'm good. Okay, I'll take notes.
And it's just like, it's like being on the weirdest first date without any romance, and then completely us sitting there like, that part was and funny. Then
whenever they want to make a comment, we're like, save it for the pod. Save it for the pod. Save it. This is good content.
Oh man, yeah, it is. It's. There is something about it's, it can be just as uncomfortable on Zoom too. Cause you're like, hello, like, you know, like it's just hard to manage that stuff, but it's just so funny. When we had the idea, you just think it's going to be completely easy and just like, that'll be awesome. And you forget, you're like, oh yeah, that's, there's like those tiny little social things that are just like a little odd.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's like you have all those other things. If you're doing a comedy show or something and you get someone to perform on it, but it's just them standing in the back waiting to go up. Or even if we do it on Zoom, it's like a little weird. We're like, sorry, we're getting set up. Do you have headphones? It was just so much weirder when it was like, come to Jeremy's apartment.
Yeah.
And
it is a legit studio.
It is a legit. It's a, I mean, people walk in and they're like, this is a really nice studio.
But now we're all stuck in different places.
Yeah.
We've transitioned to Zoom, but we're still in your ears right now.
And there will be a triumphant return. When this is over, we're going to triumphantly return and we're going to get those same people back, and you will be able to hear the awkwardness in the voices of all of us when we are coming back after watching the episode together and recording. But
there's a little bit where people were like, why don't you show yourselves watching the episodes together? Like, you should also roll a live stream. I think we should, when it's all said and done and we're all back together, we should do that. But the live stream should just be a front-facing GoPro camera on the host who is really weirded out, who has to watch it by with us. It's just their face. That's all it is.
Can you turn that off? No.
This is not a deal. No. It's a live stream. Answer some of the questions.
Does it have to be 6 inches from my face? Yes. Yes, it does. Yes,
it does. It does.
It actually does. But no, we are watching the Cold War. And I don't know. I think it's starting to get cold in New York. I am out in northern Wisconsin. It's cold here.
It's gotta be real cold.
And it's about to get cold with our ladies.
I want to say. So I have the IMDb up right now.
Yeah.
And Cold War has, you know, a pretty good, the episode itself has a 7.2, which I don't know if that's good or bad. But let's go to something comparable. Let's go to Game of Thrones series finale, because this gets me hyped.
Okay.
Game of Thrones series finale. Their last three episodes are 5.5, 6.0, 4.0. Okay.
Okay.
But they particularly shit the bed.
I know. Okay. Well, the end of
Sopranos. Do Sopranos.
I was typing that in as you said it, John. I was typing in Sopranos.
All right. What do we have for Sopranos final episode? And it's six seasons as well.
Okay. The show overall is a 9.2 rating.
Wow. Their finale. Okay.
The finale.
9.3.
It's Made in America, right? Yeah, 9.3.
I would say this is a pretty darn good score. 8.8 for the
series. Ooh, yeah, that's great. Really great.
That's really good. It's also a two-part series finale.
Yeah, there's a half a point of margin of error right there. So I think it's comparable. That's awesome.
Yeah. Kirkman and so many people were just like, you know, the last of season, last 6B is just next level. And it has been. Not a wasted moment. And also, whether I like Petrovsky or not as my favorite person, what like a great character for Carrie Bradshaw to have, to kind of her whole exploration of what a male partner, what male partner she wants.
Yeah, be glad that she's dating some rigid Russian guy. That way we can have an episode called The Cold War. If she was dating like a guy from the South, we would have a Civil War episode, you know? Exactly. Or if she was dating a London guy, it'd be the Revolutionary War. Like, we'd be happy with what you have here, people.
If she was dating, the Spanish-American War, you know, or she was dating
a French fur trapper, it would be the French Indian War.
Yep.
You know,
but this is what it is. Now,
that's an episode. That's a 6C season that we have to write, where she's dating a French fur trapper that magically shows up in Manhattan.
Now, wouldn't you say that there's going to be something?
Jacques Mouillard was the most. He was the most popular fur trader on Fifth Avenue. He skinned his beavers in the store. I want him to skin my beaver.
This is going to have to have something to do with like not express, like, because the Cold War was basically like a standoff.
Right.
Carrie and Petrovsky are going to have some sort of emotional standoff.
And think about this. The last episode we saw was him killing the mouse with the frying pan.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe a little bit of foreshadowing, and even more foreshadowing with his just like straight vodka answer of like, my friend died.
Yeah.
Your friend might die. You know, he's just, this is maybe a little bit of like their, it might be falling apart.
Well, let's jump in. Apart. Let's watch it.
Here we go.
Cold War.
Bye.
Episode 91, The Cold War. Alexander refuses to talk about his work or introduce Carrie to his friends. Miranda adjusts to life in Brooklyn. Charlotte decides to enter Elizabeth Taylor in a dog show. And Samantha makes a sex tape with Smith after a tabloid reports that Smith is gay. And now, back to the boys.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
Keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros. Two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude. Stop with the voice. Just keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Brav Bros.
Good job.
And we're back. Just having watched Cold War, Sex and the City. Dude, it's people used to talk like that. Like, what do you think it was like to talk to Tom Brokaw when he wasn't on TV? You just dude, sound like
his voice would just drop down. He'd be like, hey, it's me, Tom. Good to talk to you.
Thank you for watching my news piece.
I will say this.
Where can you believe what Kennedy did?
I feel like that episode, that was like a roller coaster of like and dislike for me. It's very interesting.
Huh.
Oh, I can't wait to get into that. Should I do a quick high level?
John, hit us with the...
Hit us!
Hit it, John, with the recap.
Cold War, we had the question, without sharing your worlds, can even the hottest relationships stop cold? Miranda, I think, didn't have like a super relevant storyline. I think her storyline was just that she loves Steve because Steve brings her cheesecake from Junior's. Charlotte, I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Do you guys have anything?
She was really into gossip mags.
Yeah, she likes. Oh yeah, I guess the
she
gossip.
She loves Tattletale Gossip.
She was in Tattletale Gossip
Tattletale.
Mag. Charlotte was that she showed Elizabeth Taylor her dog, and her dog went in heat during the show. Is that right? Did she go in heat, or did she? I guess heat. She had her period. Samantha takes a picture with Smith and Stanford. And Sanford's boyfriend, and it gets published in Tattletale magazine that Smith is gay, and Samantha gets very insecure about that, and Carrie gets the cold shoulder from Petrovsky when she brings over all of her friends and kind of wonders if they have anything in common, if they have anything to talk about other than Carrie and their relationship. Where do you want to start? Something I need to look up is Petrovsky's colleagues sat down at the table, was that one of the guys the landlord from Ace Ventura Pet Detective?
Yeah, and also I believe he was the wheelchair guy from Breaking Bad.
Yes.
He's the guy in the wheelchair.
Who's the guy in
Gus?
No. Oh, the old
he kills
guy?
Gus Fring.
Wow, spoiler alert.
Well,
if
that's life,
if you are following another Breaking Bad podcast and they're not at that episode, sorry.
I believe so. Yeah,
I think so. Yeah.
Wow.
Where do you want to start with?
I want to start with Carrie and Petrovsky because I feel like we've short circuited.
Yeah.
Their relationship a little bit. So I say we start with the meat, and hey, if we end with a cannoli, then that's fine.
Well, something that was interesting is we did an Instagram poll if opposites attract or if birds of the feather flock together. We asked people on Instagram. We had like 900 responses when I checked it a few weeks back, and it was split 50-50, like a perfect 50-50 split, which is insane.
I was checking it on the way, and I was like, this is so – and people had strong opinions.
Yeah.
Just strong of like absolutely or like absolutely not. It was pretty wild. Good.
What did you all vote for?
I think that birds of a feather flock together. That's my opinion.
Like whether you I don't know. I'm split. I mean, I guess I feel like I could kind of go either way, honestly, because I don't think you necessarily have to have it. I think that in a relationship, you can have shared experience that becomes what makes you flock together. I think these days, probably you find a common ground. I mean, I do feel like I've been drawn quicker to people that I've dated that, you know, it's like, oh, we both do this thing.
Right.
We're both super into macrame. You know, we
Macklemore?
Love meeting.
Macklemore.
We love Macklemore. We love going to the thrift shop. No, but
if you're watching this show for the first time ever, mostly, if this is when it's airing, I would say that some of the things that she said were like, if a friend said it, I'd be like, oh, beginning to the end. You may not know it yet, but this relationship's
like,
over.
Like what?
Like when she said that you don't have enough time. Like for her to, you want to be in a relationship with someone that you can go do that. Like she's still learning about him. So he didn't do anything wrong.
Right.
And she didn't do anything wrong.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But you want to be in a relationship. And it was really cool that he canceled. Like I hate when you have that pit in your stomach where you're like, ah, this person's going to cancel. Or like this person like wants to meet my friends, but like he's usually busy, but he's going to make it. And then he doesn't. And she's probably like, 1% of her was like, I knew that was going to happen.
Yeah.
But then he does the thing. And then she goes,
he does the thing. He cancels, but sends them a bottle of champagne.
Yeah.
Which is a pretty, pretty great,
pretty
move.
Good move.
Pretty. Yeah.
And she's
pretty good move that says that an apology is like, and right as it happened.
Yeah. And she's right to want to share that part of her life with him and her friends, 'cause they're so important. And he's right to be like, what are you doing? And then also at the very end, she's just going to live. There's enough evidence at this point that if she is committed to him, she will have a wonderful life in a lot of different ways. And she will be perpetually lonely because she won't always have 100% of this person like emotionally. And that's something that you can tell that she desires. Mm. I think.
I mean, so she asked the questions like the question she asked in her column, without sharing your worlds, can even the hottest relationship stop cold? And I think within reason, I don't think that the objective of a relationship should be to be someone's everything. I don't think you should share worlds. I think it is very important. I've probably monologued on this before. Is that if you want a healthy relationship, you have to realize that your significant is, it can be your friend, but they cannot fill all the needs that your friends have. Right. Katie has very strong female friends. No matter how hard she tries, I will not listen to her and talk to her and support her anywhere near as well as her friends do. And if she tried to get that out of me, I think we would have a problem in her relationship, just like her. I love my friends. And if I'm expecting Katie to act like one of you two or Harlan, like we're going to be in a tough spot. And so I think it's important to have, not make your partner everything. And I feel like that's a little bit of what she wants and, or what she asks at least.
I think that you're correct, but I think that what you're describing is, I mean, there's a certain point with which you have to be an emotionally healthy person.
Sure.
And there's a certain point that it's like, I could be with the funniest, prettiest, coolest, blah, blah, blah person ever. And if you don't feel secure with that person, then that doesn't 100% matter. And I do feel like it is not her asking to be Petrovsky to be her everything, but she just needs a little more. Think about like, let's be nice to Carrie in this episode, because I don't think she's done anything wrong. Like, let's like take the Carrie Bradshaw is selfish away from the conversation and be like, you know what? She needs to feel love. She needs somebody to share her life with, because she has her own life. If anything, I think it is an argument for what you're saying, John, that it's like, I'm not fulfilled by you. I just want you to meet my friends. And I want you to like, I want you to come into my world and I want to go into your world. Instead, he's like, we fuck and we cuddle.
Yeah.
And you don't come into my world and I don't want to be in your world. And that would be a lonely life.
Yeah. Do you think he's glacially slow, to stick with the cold theme? Or do you think he is just wants, he's had a relationship, he's been with someone where they like merged lives, and he just wants his mistress and he's happy with where it's at? Or do you think he'll eventually come around? You said based on her, the language she used, it was the beginning of the end. So you're probably in the camp that he is who he is and she should.
I think he's rich and he's famous and he's charming and he has everything. And so he is in this place that maybe could leave him sad and lonely at the end of his life, or maybe it's just what it would be like. but he doesn't have to bend his life in any way to be with a cool, funny, beautiful person. And so he's not going to do that. So he finds someone who's like, fulfills me in these ways, and I get to do my exact life because I'm a rich, famous painter. And so I don't, and I already have a kid. I've already been in love. This is kind of what I need out of a relationship. And she's like, but what about this? And he's like, let's go back to bed. I need to go work, have fun with your friends. And there'd be some people that would be like, that'd be a wonderful life for them. You're like, yeah. Sweet. Mm-hmm. I go live my life and I have this rich, famous painter who has his own life. But she, what she want, has with Big and with her best relationships is like a buddy to tramp around New York with and like banter back and forth with. And she just doesn't have that with him. And I don't think he's a bad guy, but I don't think he doesn't need to be like, what can I do for you, babe? He's like, I have my perfect life. I need a girl to like fit in where I need to. And I think that could lead in real life to a sad old person that is like, I just have these like beautiful women that I never mm-hmm. fully, you know, sacrifice for.
But. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that he is looking for not an accessory, but I think he is looking for the convenient, nice parts of a relationship. And, or I just think he has a pretty defined set of boundaries that are probably not conducive to a lot of vulnerability because mm-hmm. his boundaries are like pretty set and can't be encroached on by somebody else. And that doesn't mean that you can, I mean, at the end of the episode, he does talk about what is probably, without getting on like a deeper subconscious level, like he does talk about what's probably a big struggle for him, that he's like, I feel like I'm a failure. Like, I feel like this thing is not going to work. So like he does get a little vulnerable, but you're right. I mean, I think one thing in a relationship is you, if you want a deeper relationship, you probably have to show up to be like, I need to work tonight, but okay, I'll go meet your friends. You know, like, and he's not going to give that up.
Yeah. Do you think he should have like gone and met their friends? I would love to hear like just that specific example, what you both think, if he handled that correctly, if he should have just like gone and met the friends and just been like,
I think in general, once they were
at the house, should he have handled like what? I would love to get your all hot takes on that scenario.
Ooh. Hot takes in Tattletale Magazine.
I think
hot takes, page 6.
If he agreed to go, he should have gone.
Yeah.
Which I think is generally, it's not like a deal breaker, but you'd have to have a conversation that if he did it again, it would be like, why are you agreeing to do this? Like, and maybe it would have to involve to be like, hey, you don't need to meet my friends until after your exhibit. You know, like,
yeah.
I would say that, like, you know, she was probably very, very excited.
Totally.
She was very excited. And
she even told Stanford that he couldn't come.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, when you have you, I mean, John, you've been with Katie for a while, but I'm sure you still have disappointments and stuff, but it's like, there have been times, and Corey and I have talked about it. It's like, you're like excited. You're not sure if like a girl's actually into it. And then there have been times on my end that I've been like you have a date in like a week. And then you can feel yourself be extra into it or mm-hmm. not into it. And then be like, you can feel even in the text messaging, if it's like, oh, this is going to be like a thing came up deal.
Yeah,
or
yeah,
you
yeah.
can feel yourself sometimes. Like I try not to be flaky in dating, but I've also tried to be honest at times too. And just be like, I got to be honest. I'm super busy. Like,
right.
But it sucks.
But would you have been super busy if it was someone that you were feeling an incredible magnetism towards?
Never.
I think that you get to the place where, I mean, there's a thing where you're like, should he have canceled? I mean, I think you should he have not canceled, whatever. I think that it meant a lot to her. He said he was going to go.
Right.
So I think at that point you keep your commitment. But then you're like, well, should he have not? Well, clearly, he's showing his priorities of the relationship.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So whether he should or shouldn't have, he was honest about what was going on. And I don't say that to be like, hey, he was honest. He's not going to meet your friends. Get over it. I mean, that is indicative of what your relationship is going to be like. So he was honest about what is going to happen with things. So whether, like, I think out of a courtesy to another person, you should show up if it's a big event like that. It'd be one thing if it was like, Samantha and I are getting coffee at this one place on a Saturday afternoon right. while I'm running errands. And he's like, hey, I can't make it. I know I said I would, but I'm working. This is a bigger event. So I think you should have, but also, you know, in a bigger thing, it's like, he is kind of being authentically who he is. And that is kind of a disappointment to her.
I do find it interesting, though, that he also encouraged Carrie to flake on her friends, too. So he, like,
yes,
he's kind of displayed this flake behavior. Like, the present is more important than the possibility. And, like, don't go see your friends. Just stay here in the now.
Yeah. That is
so
true.
At least he's like somewhat consistent in that behavior.
I mean, it does seem like he is kind of a classic homebody mm-hmm. where he's just like, I mean, granted, maybe it's that it's January in New York right now in this show, but it's like, he's like, just hang out, stay in bed, which, you know, I do think, I think we've probably all three had the kind of thing where it's like, it's Saturday. It's 7 p.m. We didn't really want to go in the first place. Let's just stay in. Like, I think there was a little bit of that going on. But you're right. He did encourage her to flake. He seems like he's pretty brutally honest about doing what he wants and being honest about yeah. like his feelings. And also he does seem like an all business kind of like a little closed off, mm-hmm. Kind of a cold person. And I don't mean that as an insult. I just mean it like he's like, all my friends are back in Europe. I'm here for work.
What do we think about Carrie deleting Big?
I thought it was foreshadowing. I mean, if you're, it depends if we're thinking of like a relationship perspective or like a TV show perspective.
Relationship perspective. We're talking about TV perspectives.
I'm sorry. Because if we're talking about TV perspectives during this flake scenes, they should have played Flake by Jack Johnson. Huge missed opportunity.
Come on.
Relationship perspective. You know, when I heard that, I was like,
Saturday, stay in bed. I'm going to play. Let's make banana pancakes. I know she said it's all right. We can make it up next day.
Something as small as a nobody knows and a him and a head
I got it. You know what? I talked to a friend one time who like had worked on something with Jack Johnson and they were like, he is the best guy. He's awesome. And so for like a Saturday, just tried to get into Jack Johnson stuff. And I was like, besides those three songs, not really my music. But you read his Wikipedia page and it's like, this guy seems like a great dude. Family man, humanitarian.
I love that. I love when surprise celebrity, you're like, you know, you'll see John Cena in a movie and be like, I wonder if he's a good guy. And you're like, oh my gosh, he's the best guy.
He's the best guy.
I love totally. Accidentally stumbling upon those.
Same deal with old JJ.
JJ.
I think
Jonesy? JJ?
JJ, hey Jonesy,
hey Jonesy, I'm hey, a good you know guy. It's me,
Jonesy. I volunteer at a lot of homeless shelters. Jonesy, I got a lot of I do a lot of toys for tots.
Poor guy lost his bone.
Oh, deleting big. When I saw that, I was like, you know what? That seemed like a mature thing, and I think Carrie was doing that thing where you tell yourself like, yes, I'm moving on. But it seemed like a mature step for her to be like, Russian knows what he wants. I'm getting this other guy call me back. We've been back and forth for forever. So like, it seemed like a healthy thing. I don't know how honest it was, but it seemed like a really healthy thing.
I think it was a healthy thing. I also think like one of the things that is difficult with relationships is so many, and this is like what I feel like we've learned through like watching this and hearing everyone's different opinions. Like there's right and wrong in a lot of scenarios. And sometimes it's just like, you're on a journey for something. And a lot of it is for people to find like their person and their partner. And at least she is making a solid go at it with this person. And I think there is this is like such great writing because it's a classic setup that it's like there's two paths of which you can take in life. You can have, you know, be with this artist and go to the cool restaurants and go to in jet set and have this part of your life not be perfect. You know, like I'm sure the Russian is way more intriguing than Big. I'm sure she's not like, what is your work like, Big? And he's like, we just made $500 million on a securities trade. You know, like
he's running ads on the Bradshaw Boys podcast. He's like, just listen to the podcast. It'll
just listen to
what
the podcast, dude. Yeah. And so I do think at least she is making, and she also keep in mind, she also cheated on her last close boyfriend with Big. So it's not just a voicemail. It is like you're either toying with potentially cheating on this person and letting them back into your toxic life or letting their toxicity back. And I think there's also a thing with Big that you can't underestimate. If he found out she's with a guy, he wouldn't be like, oh, it would just be like, wait till he has one too many scotches. And he would just be like, what's this Russian guy all about? You know, like he doesn't necessarily have respect for.
Dude, I could so totally see Big showing up with like a babushka hat and just be like, I'm the Russian guy.
It's his only way to make fun of other boyfriends is by their hats. Yeah. Pork pie. And then he's pork like, pie. Ooh, babushka.
Wait, is babushka a Russian hat or is that a Russian grandmother?
No, I think it's
matter.
Know what I'm talking
about. You know what I'm talking about. I know what you're talking about.
What are they called? You know. I just say babushka, but they're probably called
babushka
something else.
Babushka is a Russian grandmother, but I'm just going to Google the words furry
it's
Russian
called an Ushanka.
Hat.
Ushanka.
Dude, how do you think Big would make fun of Aiden since he can't?
It's called
since,
an Ushanka?
Since Aiden can't fit a hat on his head, do you think Big would just show up with a puka shell necklace?
Hey, anyway, what kind of hats do you wear, furniture guy? And he's like, oh, I'd love to wear a hat, but my head's too big. They don't make
it. I don't fit any of them.
Even custom hats. No, even custom hats. There's not enough fabric. there's no milliner who a milliner
there's never
is a hat
been a
maker,
big,
by the way.
A hat that'll fit my head. Okay. I'm going to subject change real quick here and ask you guys a serious question. If you knew that there was a sex tape of Corey, Kevin, would you watch it on a gossip site?
I have multiple times.
And you would do it again.
And Corey promised not. Corey made you promise when we started this podcast to not bring up the sex tape that he has out
there. Yeah, John. We're four episodes from finishing it. Then this podcast is over for good. We're not going to do another one. We covered
John,
that earlier.
Why would you do that?
And you brought it up. Come on.
Was there. With his career at the top of his game.
I was like, he's going to do this?
Was that a little jumping of the shark?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, straight from Gus Van Sant to Samantha Jones's bedroom. We're talking, of course, about Smith and Samantha. Samantha gets insecure that people are spreading rumors about Smith being gay, so she makes a sex tape with him and then drops it, and then Miranda sees it in Tattletale.com from her DSL line.
I love Tattletale.com. It's the best magazine. The real move would have been for her to do a full out sex scene with him in a Gus Van Sant or other like an indie movie. And then people be like, it wasn't simulated. It was real. Like to get it out that way. But just to like,
she wouldn't care
Paris
that people
Hilton
think he's gay.
Time.
Yeah, I agree. That's like the thing about this episode
that
like really bugged me is I feel like she even said like, once you have the big C, you don't sweat the small stuff.
She also said, when people think you're gay, you've really made it. Like when the gay rumors start coming, that means you're really famous. She said that too.
This is like so much of good writing or bad writing hinges just on the character's motivations. This is the Bradshaw Boys masterclass. Thanks for being here. No, but it's true that it's like, in what, why? Give me a reason why you wouldn't, that wouldn't be your first draft. And then somebody in the brilliant writer's room is like, Samantha wouldn't care. And then you're like, oh yeah, they make a sex tape because that is part of their world that they would absolutely do that. Mm-hmm. Everyone thinks he's gay. That gets leaked by accident. And then the whole world is like, I guess it's not. And Samantha and everyone's like, oh my gosh, are you guys nervous that your sex tape is out there? And it goes better for his career. Yeah, and she's like, me and Paris Hilton, it's been fine for us. And then she doesn't care. That is a easier written episode.
Yeah. I just don't think because when it was published in the magazine, she didn't care. But when two people were talking about the magazine in the nail salon, that's what made her care. And I just don't know, like, for me, it lost me a little bit there. I'm like, this is very un-Samantha. I don't
know. Also, Paris care, and then the other guy, drove it home at the dog show, and it made her care even more.
Okay.
Paris and Kim Kardashian both did not make their sex tape and then release it. They made private sex tapes, and then they were like...
Allegedly, Kevin.
But then they were released, and then they were like, whatever. They were like, I don't care. Yeah, that is me. They didn't try to release them. So even that doesn't line up.
They made those.
They did not make them to release them.
Come on.
I'm not convinced.
No, they didn't. No, they weren't. They were hacked and then put out. And then they came around to it.
How could they be hacked? Weren't those things back then recorded on like cassette tapes? They probably mailed them to people.
I feel like it's such a celebrity ploy. No, because we're at a point now where that wasn't a ploy. That could destroy your life. It's them.
Well, that's
the beginning
smart.
Of it. That's why they flipped it around.
But they did that. They did not release their sex tape on their own. I
know they didn't do it, but it was crafted.
It was crafted after the fact to embrace it. And
how do I Google this without just, you know, inadvertently
Google for like, the love of Ray J.
That's what it's called. Leading back to Rome. There has to be someone that's debunked the fact that those were just randomly like hacked. I don't even understand how they were hacked. They weren't uploaded on
Kim Kardashian sex tape,
like
the real story of how it emerged. 10 years ago, a sex tape propelled Kim Kardashian from random socialite to superstar. Here's how it happened. Now, I don't have time to read all this.
Reading this on tattletale.com?
It's news.com/AU, so it's Australian news. Live, laugh, love.
The Aussies know about this stuff.
Okay. The story of that movie begins the months leading up. They have Paris Hilton. They have everything. I'm going to read this, and then we'll figure it out.
This is great. This is intrigue.
Because this
betrayal.
Is... I could be wrong, but what I think and kind of stand by, and this is where a defense of Kim Kardashian and Paris Hilton would be, is that it was still, especially Paris Hilton days, it was still not socially, you would have no reward guaranteed at the end of a sex tape. That could still really fuck your life up. And so, I mean, I could be wrong, but I feel like what happened is those came out. They came out and then they embraced it to be like, it is what it is. But it wasn't like, we're going to play four-dimensional chess and this is going to make me who I am. Because I don't think that could happen now. But I don't think we were in a place where that would happen 10 years ago or certainly 15 years ago. I think that's a way to look at it now because it's gone so well.
I also kind of feel like, and I'm not just trying to defend myself here, but I kind of feel like the stories you will find will be like, it was leaked. It would not surprise me if it was orchestrated. I think so much of those people's lives, and this is maybe a little conspiratorial, but so much of those people's lives are orchestrated leaks. So much of it is. They've made an entire career off of reality television, both people that we're talking about. They understand public manipulation like that.
I understand that. And I think that sex tapes at that point were still... too nuclear Cold War to know that like, if I leak this, it's going to benefit me. I still think there was like a risk of like, no, you could become like that could tarnish you in a way that could lose you lots of money.
Listen, guys, there'll be a lot of questions to ask the big man when we die. What happened to the dinosaurs? Was the moon landing fake? Did Paris and Kim release their own sex tapes?
I thought the question was, God, did you see the Paris Hilton sex tape?
Chalk it up to things that we'll never know. I don't know.
He's like,
I don't think we'll ever know.
I saw the filming.
I do want to talk
off to it, Kevin. Come on. I've seen everything.
I do want to talk about, they may have missed with Samantha being insecure about the sex tape, but how spot on and revelationary was it of the person who thought about Charlotte being a show dog person? She would be so good. She like is straight out of Best in Show. She would be so good at that. That like whoever thought like this is what Charlotte should do for a couple episodes, just really crushed it.
Also, this is typical, like typical guy thing. But right when that happened, I even grew up with girl dogs and they had their periods. But the second that happened, I was like, dogs have periods?
And I did wonder. I was like, does it bleed like that? We always had our dogs spayed when they were little, like we when they were pups. Bob Barker, spay and neuter your pets. What you gotta do?
Yeah,
unless you're a breeder. But come on, what do you have? I mean, a dog I think just walking around.
I bet there's a thing with spaying with show dogs that you're not supposed to do that because that's probably part of having a show dog.
Yeah, I don't think you can.
And you want to, yeah. Well, first of all, you want to breed them because they're the best of those. So you're not going to just chop their balls off. You want to keep them that way. But then also, I wonder if it would affect. Yeah.
I don't even know. I'm not an expert on show dogs, but I don't think you could show a dog that had been spayed or neutered.
Yeah.
This says these events are strictly for evaluating breeding sex, so spayed dogs don't qualify. You're absolutely right.
Wow. That was
we got to the bottom of something in this podcast.
We got to the bottom of that.
I will say I felt really bad. She had those, I believe, were suede boots. Getting blood on your suede boots, that's not good. That's not gonna come out, Charlotte.
Dude, the first half of that sentence sounds like such a good country song, and then the second half really just tanked. Getting blood on your suede boots. That's not good.
I got blood on my suede boots.
That's not good.
All right, hold on. Just another blood on suede.
It's also there's a total missed opportunity with spade and suede.
Yeah.
I got blood on my suede boots. Because my dog wasn't spayed and his name's Toots.
All right, man, you got to get out of the booth. You got to get out of the booth, man. Come on.
Time's up.
Well, yeah, I mean, we got more to cover, but I loved Carrie Petrovsky line. This was a very fun, but also I was like, what are we doing? Come on.
It was kind of all over. Charlotte? Did you also feel like there was going to be some sort of thing with her and that guy that like had a crush on her? I was like, is this going somewhere?
Which one? The guy at the dog show?
The dog show guy. I was like, is that going to be a weird thing with Harry? And then that kind of was just like Charlotte flashed then, her like, eyes.
And, she really, her plan was to bring Elizabeth Taylor to the dog park and just hold her the whole time. Like, why would you even go to the dog park at that point? Yeah. Just go to any other bench in the park and hold
it. It ended
dog.
Up being worth it just to get the line where it said Elizabeth Taylor got gangbanged in the dog park. Like it seems
it's
like
so 80s.
It honestly it feels like they started with that line and then they wrote the episode backwards from there. They're like, okay, how could we get there?
Yeah, that's true.
It also sounds like something we would do in a Patreon episode.
Take a dog to get gangbanged in a park?
No, start with the line, Elizabeth Taylor got gangbanged in the park, and then
hey guys,
have to
we're doing
craft
a live episode from the dog park. We brought our friend's dog.
Oh, God.
Okay. Also, look, I just have a great shot of just Charlotte is Best in Show. That was awesome.
Oh, that's fantastic.
It was fun. It seemed a little more season 3, season 4.
Yeah.
We got like, what are we doing here? We got some real stuff we got to cover with the cream cheese poppy. So,
yeah. And then Miranda's storyline, I mean, I guess that she likes to read gossip, but other than that, it was just like that she loves Steve.
It was her settling into Brooklyn. I feel like it was like Brooklyn's tough. She's trying to get, you know, and I also think it was I think that was a flip comparison, a mirror image of Carrie's life.
Mm-hmm.
Carrie's with this guy.
Okay.
Carrie's got this like downtown artist boyfriend and Miranda has the quote unquote boring life that actually is really great.
Yeah, and everything is cannolis. It's fantastic.
Yeah. It's like, and it was the whole deal when, you know, you saw the line where Steve was like, I love it when you have your friends over. That was like before they even went to meet Petrovsky. So it's like, it's basically a mirror image of like what Carrie wanted to have, and Carrie was internalizing that. And you know,
how did I miss that? That's so true. Right. You're right.
It's all right, man.
And also, but she doesn't have the fully happy life. You know what I mean? Like, just because Miranda has the better relationship doesn't mean that you're automatically going to be happy, even though it's like smaller things. And so it did have that sweet moment at the end where he finally installed her dick sucking lips. That's what DSLs used to be. I know it's internet, but that's what in high school we called.
He just pulls out some Botox, just puts a syringe in her lip, and just pumps them up.
Oh man, no, I'm kidding. DSL, which was a very fast internet connection.
It's what I'm on right now in Northern Wisconsin.
You're on DSL right now.
Yeah.
Wow.
Hey, can you see me? Hello. Hi.
But no, I think it was like, even if you have a house, you have this husband, you have everything you could have in a relationship, you're still in this kind of Cold War situation of being like, I need my own space. Mm-hmm. You're not always going to be, I feel like that's one of the difficult things about life, to be honest, is like you're never going to be completely satisfied or completely happy. And sometimes you're not going to be on the same page. Like Steve like wants this and she's like, I need my alone time. And he's probably like, I was excited to see you all day. Like I think this was cool because they showed that you can do that and still be happy in the Steve Miranda relationship. But then in the Carrie Petrovsky one, it's kind of sad. It's like, oh, these people are kind of missing each other. And ultimately like they're not together. And there's like that distance they have. And that
there was, I mean, I think that the episode was supposed to show that, but like, there was never a time where I saw Carrie and Petrovsky's relationship was like, oh man, I want that. But I did see Steve and Miranda's and I was like, man,
yeah,
that would be pretty great.
I mean, it was really like, nice seeing Carrie like talk to him and break through.
That was
him
really
and
nice.
Comfort him and like dude, help him.
Steve and Petrovsky should get together. They can just fuck five times a day. Both those dudes are just wild cats. They're just like, let's stay in bed all day. Which, don't you feel like girls have higher sex drives than they're showing? Like, it's, I don't know. Most guys want to go like two, three times in a row. Steve and Petrovsky, they got stamina.
It's the greatest attribute.
Are you no comment? Nothing?
No, I mean, yeah, they like last week's or 2 weeks episode was all about Steve's stamina, and this is Petrovsky just wanting
he's like just one quick hour. I feel like usually it's just like 7 minutes and then let me go to my art. He's like, no, I've got the I don't know. You guys don't like this conversation?
I'm totally fine with that. I just don't know how to. I don't know how to contribute other than like. Do you want me to read some more literature about Russians being beats? Like that's all I can really. That's like all I can really offer.
I think that they Steve and Petrovsky seem to be written to have higher sex drives than most male characters are written to be. Like, babe, I want to take a nap.
Yeah.
And that is like slightly different that usually when represented on television, whether it's based on reality or not, it's usually just like the, you know, Tim Allen in Home Improvement being like, oh, I'm tired. I'm a dude. Yeah. And it's like, babe, come on. And he's like, what? We just did it yesterday. You know,
but then it's also I think you're absolutely right. But then it's also flipped where it's like. It's like, hey, babe, I just got home. And it's like, save it, mister. You got laundry to do. It's like the whole concept of just male and female sexual relationships in media, the stereotypes are just terrible.
I know. And we have gotten to a point, I'll say, culturally and also in the show, that it's like someone needs to, we need to tamp the Miranda love down one notch because she can be a real fucking grump. Okay. Mm-hmm. Like, and this is just like, leave me alone. I just want to be in my house and read my gossip magazine. And he's like, I'm reading a book about plumbing. Okay. Like, why don't you learn?
In her defense there, she was very much like, I love you very much, Steve. And I'm so glad to be home with you. She did say that
at the end,
exact scene.
I want to go back really quick to Corey
Miranda is the Tim out. Miranda is the Tim the Toolman Taylor.
Dude, does that mean Steve is the sexy host of the sexy girl from
Pamela Anderson? Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's Ed Karn? Who's Ed,
Al Borland?
Yeah, who's Al Borland?
Al Borland.
I do think it would be great to start the premise of a sitcom just called Save It, Mister. Just a crotchety old housewife that doesn't want to have sex.
Save it, Mister.
And it could be like, you know, Steve Urkel, did I do that kind of catchphrase.
Yeah, completely. It's like,
save it, like, Mister.
Well, sweetheart, for our honeymoon, I got you all this champagne and I got us tickets.
Save it, Mister. We got to do expenses for the wedding.
Save it, Mister. Save it, Mister. You got to mow the lawn.
I'm really into that. You guys, we need to do our Cosmo rating.
Good Lord.
We covered it all. It was great.
It was a great episode.
Good. I just always want to go more.
I want to go more.
You know what, Kevin? I always want to go more. Yeah. You know, unlike TV guys, always
we got a real Steve Brady right here.
Yeah.
Well, thankfully, we're going to wrap this up and then we're going to go more on our Patreon. So if you want to hear this conversation continued, you just go subscribe to our Patreon, because that's what, when we're done with this episode, we're going to be recording that.
We're going to write the pilot episode for our hit show, Save It, Mister.
Save it, Mister.
All right, Cosmo ratings. 3, 2, 1, 3.75. What'd you say, Kevin?
3.5.
Ooh, okay. Oh, we both said 3.75. Defend
it. 3.75. Kevin, you go first.
I went 3.5. I really think that the Petrovsky, Carrie, storyline and, it was just really, 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 really strong. I think that it is very relatable. And I think that a lot of people, that watch the show, it just feels like the final piece of the puzzle of the type of people you could run into in the crazy like world of relationships and dating. And I think it's really good. I think there's a lot of riffraff. It was entertaining riffraff, but there were a lot of riffraff in this episode that didn't seem to be grounded in the same type of reality that the rest of this season 6 has. And that's fine because it was entertaining, but there's just a heaviness that, you know, when you're like, it was like watching Game of Thrones and it was sort of just like, there are 3 episodes left. Like, what the fuck are we doing here? Mm. You know? Mm. And there was a little bit of that I was like, man, I have only 3 episodes after this and 2 movies and I don't care about the dog show. But then also I have experience that it's like, we'll watch the next one and you got to pump the brakes to then go back into the next thing. So
yeah.
That's why it's not like 1.0 or 2.0. It's just sort of like, all right, like let's get back into it. And then I do think that the way the sex tape went down was kind of egregiously almost jump in the shark level, not realistic. And it could have been way better, but it was still entertaining.
We also didn't even talk about Samantha's language in this one. Ooh, would not fly nowadays.
No. And also we didn't talk about Samantha's like final outfit, which was like kind of borderline. She dressed as Foxy Brown. That was like straight up Halloween costume. I did like the fact that she was wearing a lot of wigs, but that one I was like, maybe switch it over.
There was some stuff in this episode that was definitely a bit dated and felt 20 years old. I also
did feel 20 years old.
I'll quickly just say this episode felt like not even the best episode in season 3. And like to like what you were saying, Kevin, like this is crunch time. Like we are in the thick of it right now. We are wrapping everything up. We are starting to, we're tying the bow. We're putting the last piece of tape on the wrapping paper. And there was just like some things that didn't quite click. Still a great episode. Still loved it. I like, for some reason, I normally don't have a ton of patience for Carrie. And this episode, I really enjoyed her and liked her. Thought she was an awesome friend, even though she flaked. But like also kind of liked seeing that last scene with her and Petrovsky. So 3.75, I'm standing by it.
Yeah, 3.75. I think Kevin was right that they showed a lot of maturity in their relationship. And it also makes you kind of think like, oh, you're seeing a person who, like you said, has been through a lot of different kinds of people that they could have dated and has kind of gotten to the point where they're more mature and wants to, you know, have a more mature relationship. She showed some maturity, and it kind of reminded me of watching when you meet somebody as a freshman and then you go back and see them as a senior and you're like, oh, they've grown. Like they've all grown into these like different places and the show feels like a whole now. I love Samantha's wigs. Quick fashion thing, because we always miss it. Stanford, who was amazing to see and was so good to see him again, he makes a comment about Marcus wearing an Oswald Boateng shirt. And when we interviewed Willie Garson, he said Oswald Boateng is the guy that made all his suits that he wore on the show that fit him the best. And they would always try to like talk about that design.
Ah, that's so a good
Oswald
catch.
Boateng.
Boateng.
But anyway, yeah, 375. I mean, it kind of just makes me excited for the next couple ones because I'm like, I feel like the next couple ones have to be really good.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Awesome. Well, we did all our business up front. So thank you so much for listening. Leave us a comment on iTunes, hit us up on Instagram. Let weigh in on any of the Paris Hilton, Kim Kardashian debate that we had. We love you all so much, and as always, later taters.
Business up front, party in the back. Later taters.
Later taters.
Later taters.
The Bradshaw Boys stars Corey Cabin, Kevin James Doyle, and John Sieber. The show is produced by me, Jeremy Balin, and narrated by Katie Sieber. This podcast is part of the Seltzer Kings Network. Check out all their great podcasts at seltzerkings.com. You can find the boys on their socials at The Bradshaw Boys or on their website at thebradshawboys.com. And as always, if you see them in the street, tip your glass. Thanks for listening.